Good morning, church. We are so glad that you are able to join us for our first service in our new home. If this is the first time that you've worshiped with us, we'd love for you to text the word connect so that we can get you added to our email list and someone on staff can contact you so that you can get connected. Our preteen and youth ministries for ages 5th through 12th grade will resume tonight and will meet every Sunday evening from 6 to 7:30 in our lower lobby. We're asking that you wear a mask, but you can show up without registering and make sure you bring some friends too. As we continue to meet over the next several weeks, it would help us out if you could get on our website and register ahead of time for the service that you plan to attend. That will help us make some decisions about time slots as we add back in our adult Sunday school classes as well as youth programs. As we enter this new season of ministry, it's really a time to recommit and decide if we're going to be all in what God is doing in our community. And so we'd invite you to get online and find our video that shares the vision for why serving matters. You can also think about your passions and your talents and figure out how you can fit into what this church needs to be able to serve our community. Rusty's kicking off 2021 with a new sermon series called All Things New. I'd like to share some scripture with you as we get started today. In Hebrews chapter 8, starting in verse 10, it says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law into their minds and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach each one his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more." Will you pray with me? God, help us to remember the way that you really have cleansed us from all of our iniquities, that our past doesn't matter anymore once we're in your presence, that you can take all of the things that we've carried, the shame that we bear on our shoulders, and you can make us new. Thank you for the way that you give us this new covenant with you so that we can just live with you and enjoy your presence and live in freedom. Amen.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to worship. So today is so special. Today marks the very first worship gathering that we have in our new home, place that we've thought about and prayed about and dreamed about and sacrificed for and labored over for so long. And even so, it's not 100% done. There are still tweaks here and fixes there, but we're going to worship today. We're going to worship together and in person, and if you're able to come, I would so love it if you could. But still, I know there are those of us who, for 100 different reasons, need to watch this from somewhere else. For 100 different reasons, you're not able to be here present and in person. But our hearts are still knit together. And so I want to invite you into this worship time. We're starting a new series we're calling All Things New, because frankly, right now around here, everything's new. Everything smells new, everything looks new, everything still has drywall dust on it. And yet the last thing I want, the last thing you need, is to become enamored with this place. Instead, I want us to focus on, well, in Revelation chapter 21, Jesus, from the throne room, says this: "The one sitting on the throne said, Look, I am making everything new." Everything new. New creation, new heaven, new earth. It says this: "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and old earth had disappeared, and the sea also was gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, Look, God's home is now among his people. The dwelling place of God is with us, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them, and he will wipe away," get this, "he will wipe away," Revelation 21 verse 4, "he will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things gone forever, for the old order of things is gone." There's something to be said for fresh starts and new beginnings. There's something to be said for finding those places, those moments in your life, your physical life, right? New Year's Day. Your spiritual life, new disciplines as we go into 2021. Your emotional life, what is the baggage that I want to leave behind in the old year? What are the new pieces of health and wholeness that I want to take into my soul as I move into this next year? So there's something to be said for new beginnings and fresh starts. But it's not just about this place, right? I mean, it's not about this place, it's about what happens in this place. We've said from the beginning that church buildings are just that. They're buildings, and they cease to be a church when the church goes somewhere else. But what God is up to do, the new things God is up to, are the new things He's doing in us. It's not about this place, it's about what happens in this place. So what if there were, in this 2021 January, new beginnings, right? Fresh starts. What if there were a new way to know God? I mean, a lot of people I know have got some baggage with God. What if you could say, okay, Lord, in Jesus' name, I want to start over. What if there could be a new way to know God, a new way to talk with God? I meet people all the time. I don't know how to pray. Even Jesus' disciples, Lord, teach us to pray. People feel very insecure. What if you could learn a new way to talk with God, a new way to hear from God, right? How do I know that's you, Lord? How do I know that I'm being led by you? A new way to see people, right? I mean, there's a place where Paul says, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way. A new way to see people, even a new way to see things, a new way to see stuff, a new way to see possessions and the things that I've... What if there could be a new beginning in all of that? We're in a new environment. We're in a new year. What if, in the spirit of Behold, I make all things new, we could have a new beginning with God? What if the things that you wished were true about God actually are true about God? I'm going to ask you later, what are some of the things that you honestly, in the private hall of your own heart and mind, have wished that you could know about God, that were true about God? And I just made a list for me that God really is good. Because I've talked to a lot of people and the circumstances of their life and the experiences of their life have called into question the goodness of God. But what if there's a longing in your heart to know the goodness of God and you really could know that you know that God really is good? That God really knows and understands you. Because I've known an awful lot of people who have felt their entire lives misunderstood. Nobody really gets me. Nobody understands me. Nobody knows where I've been. Nobody knows what I've been through. Nobody knows why I've done the things I've done. What if God really did know you and really did understand you? And in the midst of that, the things that you wish were true about God, what if you found out that God really does love you? I mean, really does love you. And that He really does forgive you. That He really does enter into your life, not only to judge you, but to redeem you. What if you found out about the heart of God, that God just can't wait to be with you, can't wait to spend time with you, can't wait to know you and be known by you? What if all the things you wished were true, you dreamed were true about God, you found out actually are true? There's this place in the book of Acts where Paul goes to the city of Athens. I don't know if you remember this one. It's in Acts chapter 17. And he's going around, and Athens is this very religious place. There's temples here and temples there. Everywhere you turn, there's another place to go and have some form of worship after one god or another. It says this in Acts chapter 17. It says, "Men of Athens, I notice that you are very religious in every way." Can I tell you something? Most people I meet, that could be said of them. "I see that you are very religious in every way." I know some people who say, "Not me, I'm not religious. In fact, my wife says I'm irreligious." I know some people who work really, really hard to be anything other than religious. Yet it seems to me that most of us, in the quiet places of our hearts, long for something bigger than ourselves, something deeper, something higher, something wider, something stronger than ourselves. And maybe you just call it superstition, knock on wood. Maybe you just call it whatever. But I think all of us order our lives around a belief system. Paul said, "Men of Athens, I notice that you are very religious in every way. For as I was walking along, I saw your many shrines, places of worship, and one of your altars had this inscription on it, to an unknown God." To an unknown God. Just to cover our bases, just to make sure that if there's a God we haven't heard of, we don't want that God to be left out. We don't want to make any God mad. So we will even have this shrine, this temple to an unknown God. Paul says, "This God whom you worship without knowing is the very God I want to tell you about now." And he just begins and he starts telling these things about God. It was like he was saying, what if all the things you wish were true about God actually were? He is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he's Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples. Human hands can't serve his needs. He has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. From one man, he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. And he decided beforehand when they should rise, when they should fall, determine their boundaries. His purpose, God's purpose, was for the nations to seek after God. For people like you and me to seek after God. And perhaps feel their way toward him. Maybe you're one of those people and you kind of envy the people who just get it, for whom religion or a relationship with God seems to come naturally and it doesn't for you, and you just think, I wish I had that kind of faith. I wish I could just believe like that. Well, Paul says here, he says God's purpose was that people like us would seek after God, maybe even just little by little, that we would seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Even though he's not far from any of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets said, we're his offspring. And since this is true, we shouldn't think of God as an idol designed by craftsmen from gold or silver or stone. And then here's the part I wanted to share with you. It says, in the past, God overlooked people's ignorance about these things. In earlier times, God overlooked people's ignorance about these things. I don't mean to sound offensive, but maybe there are times when you just shrug your shoulders when it comes to the God conversation and say, I don't know. And it's not that you can't know, it's just that you choose not to know. For some of you, for some of us, there are places where you don't want to know God's thoughts on a particular topic because you don't want to change your behavior around that topic. And if you knew, if you could know what God's way was, what God's will was, what God's plan was, what was out of bounds, you'd be guilty. You'd feel guilty. And rather than know, you choose not to know. Paul says in the past, God overlooked people's ignorance about these things, but now he commands everyone everywhere to repent. I remember one of my professors in seminary said, the bizarre thing about that is usually if you find someone who is ignorant, you educate them. But here Paul says he found people who were ignorant and he told them, he didn't say you need to get educated. He said, you need to get right with God. You need to repent of this. There's this place in the book of Hebrews. It's also in the book of Jeremiah where God says, well, let me just read it to you. I'll read you the Hebrews. P- piece of it. In Hebrews chapter 8, it says this, here's the new covenant that I will make. Here's the new covenant that I will make. I will put my laws in their minds, and I will write them on their hearts. And I'll be their God, and they will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives, saying, you should know the Lord. Do you have neighbors like that? Do you have relatives like that who just want to poke you in the chest and say, this is what you need to do. This is what you should do. He says, for at that point, everyone from the least to the greatest will know me already, and I will forgive their wickedness, and I'll never again remember their sins. What if all the things you wished were true about God really were? That there was a place where you could just know Him. Not that you have to know everything there is to know in the Bible, but that you could just know Him. And that you could have a relationship with Him. And you could be forgiven and you could be set free and you could have a new start and a new beginning. What if all the things you wished were true about God actually were true about God? Because remember, it's not about this place. It's about what happens in this place. What happens in this place. Paul said this in Ephesians. He said, look, once you were not a people. You didn't have a place to belong. You didn't have an identity in Christ. Once you were not a people, but now you're the people of God. You and me, we belong with each other. We're connected at heart on some level. And it can go deeper. And it can go higher, and it can expand more broadly. But the point is, once we were alone, but we don't have to be alone. Once you were not a people, this is Ephesians chapter 2, but now you're the people of God. Once you had not received mercy. That's you, right? I know it's me. I know what it is to live out from under the hand of mercy, and you do too. He says, once you had not received mercy, but now you have received God's mercy. He says, once you were outsiders, apart from Christ, excluded, without God, and without hope in the world. Once you were far away, but now you've been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. What if there was a new way to know God? Not just knowing about Him through the sermons that you've heard, not just knowing about Him through the things your grandparents used to tell you, not just knowing Him through the things the news media says, this is how Christians are supposed to act and behave. What if there was a new way to know God, that God Himself wrote on your mind, wrote it on your heart, and had this new covenant with you? It's not about this place, it's about what happens in this place. First Peter, Peter's talking about this, and he says, Jesus is the cornerstone, right? We're worshiping in this new church, and it's all about building stuff, you know? And he says, Jesus is the cornerstone, and that's really important. But then he goes on, and he says this, in 1 Peter chapter 2, he says, and you also, like living stones, are being built into this spiritual temple. It's not about this place. It's about what happens in this place. It's about what happens to your heart in this place. It's about how God brings us together, brings your strengths and my weaknesses, and we bring them to bear in each other, and the whole place is built up until something incredible happens, something kingdom happens. Well, I want to invite you into something. And I want to invite you into that as we turn over the calendar page into a new year. And I want to invite you into it as we turn over into a new page in our history as a church family in our new home up at Platte Ridge, right? And it's this. Do you need a new way to know God? A new way to talk with God? A new way to hear from God? A new way to look at your life, a new way to look at your stuff, a new way to look at the people in your life, a new way to trust God that He really is good, that He really does love and forgive you, that He really does know and understand you, and that He loves you, and He longs to be with you. Do you need that? Man, I do. I need that. I need that reset moment. I need that new beginning. I need that fresh start. So here's the second question. Will you repent of your ignorance? Because you, like me, probably have some corners of your life that you've kind of cordoned off from the Lord. Places where you honestly don't even want to know what God thinks because you don't want to change your ways. But we're in a new beginning. We're in a fresh start. We're at a new moment. And maybe it's time, just like Paul told the folks in Acts 17, in the past, God overlooked that kind of ignorance, but no more. And now God is calling everyone everywhere to repent. You, me, all of us. New beginnings, fresh starts. Are you ready to repent of that ignorance? And so here's where the rubber meets the road. And here's what I want to invite you into today. Will you enter into a new covenant with God? Hebrews chapter 8. This is the new covenant I will make with them, says the Lord. This is the new covenant I will make with them. I will put my laws in their minds. I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God. They will be my people. That's what I want. And I want it not just for me. I want it for you. I want it for all of us. I want us to be built into this spiritual house, a dwelling place for God where we can just know the presence of God. Will you enter into that new covenant with God? I got some good news for you. See, the old covenant was based on my ability to keep God's commands. The new covenant comes when God says, I know who you are, and I know where you've been. And frankly, I know that you will probably fail yet again. And so this new covenant is not based on my ability or your ability to keep it. But it is based on people like you and me coming into a place with the Lord where we say, God, I need you. And I know I need you. And I know that there will be times I can't live up to my end of the bargain. But God has done for us what we could never do for ourselves. You want to hear a great new thing? God says if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. That's my prayer for you. Can I pray it over you now? Lord, in Jesus' name, would you open our hearts and our minds and our eyes, Lord, to pray to you from the genuine depth of our soul. With a heart cry that says, forgive me, Lord. I've blown it, Lord. I've messed up. God, in Jesus' name, come to me. Come to my rescue. Give me, Lord, in Christ, a new beginning, a fresh start. I've known what it is to be excluded and left out without hope and without God. Oh, but God, I need you. Is that your prayer? That's mine. That's the prayer that we're praying in this place. And I know, that God is ready to hear that prayer from you. Oh, if you've prayed that prayer today, oh, I beg you not to take it lightly. I beg you to take it seriously. I beg you to reach out to somebody that you know will get it and tell them, hey, new beginning, fresh start. I just gave my heart to Jesus. If you don't have anybody like that, reach out to us. You can email us here at the church, fbcplattcity.com. You can call us on the phone. Just say, I want this new beginning. I want this fresh start. I want to be together with you. I love you guys. And I can't wait to see all that God is going to do in this new place, in this new moment, in this new creation. I love you. And I love being your pastor. See ya.